And welcome to Light Warrior Radio. My name is Dr. Karen Kan, and I'm the author of Sensitivity is Your Superpower, How to Harness Your Gifts, Fulfill Your Purpose, and Create a Life of Joy. And if you are brand new to my channel and you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, perhaps the notification bell, so every time I do a new video, you'll be notified. Now, this is a very special segment of the Light Warrior Radio Show because my mentor and friend is Marcus Bird, and he is here to talk about dimensional stuff. Do, do, do. we're calling it dimensional deep dive. Yes, it just came to me one day, dimensional deep dive. So this is actually episode 3 in our dimensional deep dive. So you can check on our YouTube channel for the others. And there's a lot of stuff happening in the world. And let me give you a background for Marcus. So Marcus was a corporate Jedi forever ago. He actually went through chronic fatigue syndrome, very similar to my story. I had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a whole bunch of other, you know, names I'm not going to talk about right now. We both went through this incredible hero's journey of healing ourselves and finding amazing things and discovering things. And now Marcus is connected to beautiful, beautiful off-world beings that are helping support our ascension expansion process. And we get to hear about all the different things that I was hearing through Topican healing, where I was like getting messages from source. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, like what the heck is the dimensional fascia, right? Because I'm a medical doctor, so I'm seeing it in my mind, and I'm like, it looks like fascia. And then Marcus comes along, and we're longtime friends and longtime student of Marcus, and I was like, oh, now we explained it. Oh, thank you, Marcus, right? So I just love sharing Marcus with my beautiful light medicine community. So welcome for those of you from the community. We'll put the link below in case you aren't. It's free to join. Marcus, thank you so much for being here on Dimensional Deep Dive.
Yay, I'm excited. I love talking about this topic and sharing the information. And thank you so much for, yeah, inviting me in to do that for you and your beautiful community. And yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, we do have a link below and we'll share it at the end as well, where you can learn more about Marcus and the amazing work that he does. Now, today's segment is around octaves. I heard this term octaves specifically in healing from Marcus. So expanding to the next octave, what to expect. So we're going to kind of unpack what all that means, because most people go, oh, I'm ascending, or oh, I'm expanding my consciousness, I'm elevating my vibration. But Marcus, you taught us an activator healer coach about octaves and expanding to the next octave and chakras, and there's not just 7. So can you kind of unpack what all this expanding to the next octave actually means for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, we're going through a pretty exciting time on the planet. And I know sometimes it doesn't seem very exciting. It feels a bit challenging. But in all truth, we are going through a really exciting time, because there's only a few times sort of during a planet's existence that you sort of expand into the next sort of dimension of reality. And the whole of the universe is in an expansion mode, and its whole sort of focus is in expanding. And that expansion looks like, moving into next dimensions of reality. Now, when we're talking about octaves, we can look at dimensions as octaves of reality, as bands of frequency. The whole of the universe is set in motion by these sort of vibrations and frequencies and resonant fields. And so when we align ourselves with that universal sort of reality, then we can talk about these dimensional experiences and the dimensions that we're existing in as octaves of dimensions, so frequency bandwidths. And the words are a little bit interchangeable, but when I think, you know, of octave, it just helps to then break down the sort of specific frequencies that play out within that octave. You know, Karen, when you're talking about dimensions and you're talking about ascending and expanding, you know, it doesn't really give you much of a framework to go with. You know, what am I expanding into? What's the ascension I'm going through? Whereas when we think about this sort of concept of octaves, it actually gives us a really beautiful metaphor that we can then actually start to dissect and work with even closer. And that, I think, is the benefit of thinking about these sort of expansion moments and these next dimensions of reality in the sort of octave metaphor, if you will.
Okay. Yeah, because I know what you're talking about. Like sometimes we talk about, oh, the ascension process or it keeps expanding, and we're like, well, we keep expanding and we keep feeling more stuff and maybe feeling not so stable. There seems to be, in my human mind anyway, to want to have some sort of framework, not just like this expanding bubble of foreverness. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that octave, the idea of the octaves certainly can assist with that. And within that, we can look at the things that interact in these octaves, like, as you sort of alluded to before, the chakras, and how we move through different sort of bandwidths of chakras. And that may look like moving through sort of seven chakras into sort of 12 plus one or 13 chakras, which may then look like moving into the next range of chakras, however many they might be. And these sort of realities continue to awaken within us. I think at the end of the day, we have a blueprint of all of these things that we can activate at any stage. It's just that this is probably one of the, certainly the first time in our lifetime, and probably our parents' lifetime, where we're actually going through this collectively, and that sort of no one can really get away from this now. Up until this moment, various people have awakened different dimensions of reality and expanded into, different spaces. And to a large degree, the majority would then think they were a bit crazy and mad and weird because they're experiencing all these things and they're opening up to, all these amazing realities. But this is the first time we're sort of doing it en masse, or large groups of us are sort of moving through that. It's also the first time that we're able to experience multiple octaves at the same time. Now, sometimes people call this multiple timelines, where we have one timeline running and another timeline running at the same in the same sort of space. And really, this can also be akin to different octaves or bandwidths of octaves that are playing out, and they can look like, or we can experience it as different sort of timelines. Or another way to think about it is different levels of sort of consciousness or expansion of consciousness, where one person may experience the world in one way and believe something is true, and then someone else is believing a more expanded version of that and seeing through that truth, which is actually no longer true in an expanded octave state. And we're seeing these two things sort of merge. Now, this is happening because of a compression of dimensional realities. And when you shift from one dimension to another, generally there's a compression of dimensions to help you to shift into the next dimension faster. So there's a compression of the octaves in some respect, as we step into that next more expanded octave of reality that's, that is here right now.
Okay. Well, I think that, highly spiritual people, generally speaking, are really excited about, expanding to the next, level of consciousness or to the next octave. Practically speaking, having some challenges, physically. So some have said that, as our consciousness expands, it's quote unquote faster, the spiritual part of us, and our body has to kind of sort of catch up. So is there any truth to that?
In a way, that is true. And so the key here is to be able to move positively into the next octave and not sort of, in a way, sort of drag yourself into the next octave, because then you're mixing sort of two octaves together. And that can feel quite heavy and exhausting and tiring, because you're almost living in two realms. Rather than stepping powerfully into one realm, and allowing your body sort of to meet that. So when you're splitting timelines, splitting octaves, then you're dealing with multiple experiences of frequencies, and that can lead to sort of fatigue and lead to sometimes conscious confusion or feeling weird or strange. So trying to, well, stepping into that next octave really positively is really important. And this is where sort of, Topocan healing and to some degree activator come into importance, because I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that they're both going to assist someone to step into that next octave and and sort of contain themselves in that next range of or band of frequencies. You know, it's when we're trying to play in different bands of frequencies that becomes problematic, because 1 minute we're in one band, the next minute we might be in the other band, and they're very different, because one's of a sort of higher octave or higher notes of frequency, and one's in a lower note of frequency. And when you're sort of trying to play in both worlds, that can be problematic.
Well, I think there's many of us that desire to play in the lightest, most evolved versions of ourselves, and yet there may be still something like a negative belief, or we experience somebody else's, that we
Yes.
love and we care about their negative beliefs, and potentially maybe that pulls us back, into that dimension. So that's a kind of a tricky thing, because I'm not in that dimension where I can actually fly yet, Marcus. So yeah, but many people have reported that they literally, like, 1 minute, they look on the counter and the coffee creamer is half full, right? They
Yes.
look away, they look back, it's not there. But
Yes.
it's in the fridge, completely full. And they're like, I
Yes.
did not lose consciousness. So what just happened?
And this is a classic, that's a classic example of playing in those two bands of resonant frequencies. And to some degree, we are in a transition sort of period. So those things are going to play out. The key with it is to be with that more sort of expanded. I don't like to use the word higher or lower, or, you know, because it plays into that linear aspect of time and space, which we're moving away from. So if we imagine that into that expanded octave, we're still going to experience some things in the more contracted octave or contracted dimension. This is why also it's really important not to get caught in so much of the sort of social media stuff, where we're seeing people in the old octave and they're making memes about that, you know, about the fun of, you know, of that experience, and how people in that octave are not seeing what's really going on and other people are. And, you know, when you start to sort of play that out, we just have to be a bit careful not to get drawn back into that more restricted octave of reality and stay in that that more expanded version. And when you have those types of experiences you just shared, to just normalize it. But of course that's going to happen. I mean, yes, definitely.
Yeah, and that's what this person did. She's like, oh, it must have been one of those things. Yeah, like
absolutely.
one day a building isn't there, and the next day the building is there. Wow, I don't remember you being here, but
I actually had that the exact experience driving into work today, and I drive up a freeway for about 2 or 3 minutes. I have to get on this freeway and then get off the first exit. Off to the left as I'm driving, there used to be this hill and lots of trees on it, like a little mat, not really a hill, maybe, you know, twice as high as me. So it's not really a hill, but it's sort of a mound of dirt and a whole lot of trees. And today I'm driving, I'm going, there ain't no mound and there ain't no trees. Totally gone. I'm thinking
oh,
to
wow,
myself, well, this is interesting. And I was only here yesterday, so it's not as if a big grader came along, because it's like maybe 5 kilometers or 3 miles of little hill. So it's not like it's a tiny little mound with one tree on it that a bulldozer could definitely clear overnight. This is a hole. And there are roadworks happening around the area, but to have it disappear in 24 hours would be near impossible. And they weren't actually working on this part of the road. So,
Wow,
anyway,
that's
that's a classic example.
fascinating.
Yeah, I
That's
experienced it this
fascinating.
morning. So, I had to
Wow,
do a
okay.
double take and go, hang on a minute. And then I remembered, okay, that's just playing out. So, of course, it's gone. And that's okay.
Now, is there a way of telling, like, if we are experiencing or resonating or our consciousness attention to the more expanded octave, which is probably the more desired one versus a more contracted one or undesired one? Like, is there a way of telling that, like in our bodies, in our emotions?
Look, I think there's a couple of ways that you can tell, apart from physical things appearing or disappearing. There's a couple of ways to tell. One is this sort of concept of truth, and that we're moving into a more aligned version of truth. And so one of the obvious things that we're seeing, and you and I have chatted about some of these things, and we all like to talk about it, that there's, two truths playing out, and it's kind of interesting to watch, some of our people that are a bit more well known and that are on the social media and stuff speaking about something, and that's definitely not true, and that there's no reality to it. So experiencing different octaves of truth, and we're stepping into a more expanded version of octave of truth, and it's really obvious when you're in that expanded version of dimensions or reality that that truth is true, and everything in a contracted space is no longer true. Doesn't mean that the people necessarily align, because the people in that sort of restricted version or not as expanded version of reality totally believe what they're saying, but we can see a more expanded version of that. So that's one example of being in different bands of resonant frequencies, right? So different octaves. And we are talking about these bands of frequencies, and we exist in sort of bands of frequency where we can see, a certain width. And as we expand, we see a bigger width and then a bigger width and a bigger width, right? Which means our octaves just keep growing, and we get to see more and more of the truth, if you will, because we're expanding into another reality where we get to see a much bigger version of harmonic resonant fields. So we get to see a much bigger version of the truth. So then everything underneath that may appear like it's not true or not real. But in that reality, it is true, right? If you were existing back in that restricted reality, it's absolutely true. And that's why people in that reality can put their hand on their heart and go, absolutely, this is true. We might consider them liars or lying, right? But in reality, they're sort of not in their frame of reference, in their octave of reference, because the more expanded truth lives outside the frequency band that they can actually interact with.
Okay. Now, is there a place where we will stop being able to experience their truth or their band? Like, if we, is there like I know one of the spiritual teachers talked about it like a clear glass tube that were side by side, and then eventually they start going like this, and there will be a point where the contracted octaves, for lack of a better term, cannot no longer see where we are at, so they can't even jump to this one because they could have jumped back here but not here.
Look, I think one of the realities I'm aware of is that you can look sort of down through contractive octaves, but you can't look up through expanded octaves, right? So you can, which means that as we depart the old octave, we'll still be able to see it, we'll still be able to experience it. We'll experience it from a bit of afar, and it'll get further and further away as the dimensions go in the opposite direction of compression, which is expansion again. So like you're saying with these glass tubes, absolutely, at some point they'll keep expanding further and further apart. We will have a view down through the octaves, and we can choose to sort of see it or not see it, but it will get further and further apart. So it just becomes a little harder to see it. And when you're in an expanded sort of octave, you eventually you won't bother. Once you've fully moved into that, you won't want to see down into those other. They'll become like history. They'll become, oh, well, that's what that sort of generation believed, but we all know, we all agree now that that wasn't reality, that they
Okay,
weren't
so if
aware of
we're
that. So it becomes more of a story then, and it becomes like the history books as you
okay.
move further and further apart, rather than an experiential reality in this time space.
Oh, interesting. So there was a book that I read called The Water Code, and so this person has intergalactic conversations with an off-world being called Remy, and there's something that Remy said at the very end of the book that really was, I remember, like, thinking, whoa. And it was that in parallel timelines, I'll say he, parallel timelines, Remy says, you guys don't really quite understand how that works, but I'll try to explain it, in a way that might, but it's a shadow of what the real truth is. But long story short, he was saying that you can have two parallel realities, but there's maybe one that is more dominant, if you will. And that one is the then becomes the main reality. I'm not saying this correctly, guys, so just please forgive me. But my understanding, it
Pretty
becomes the
good.
main like reality. But here's the really cool thing that I got. The material stuff that was made in those parallel realities merge. And I was like, is that why there's two versions of this one scene in Star Wars or Hanna-Barbera or, the Michael Jackson? Why are there two versions of that song or,
I would like.
like different spellings of things? Is it possible that two parallel timelines actually merge and the material parts of those timelines actually are still with us so we can see both?
Absolutely. And this is part of the compression of dimensions. Not only do you have a vertical sort of compression of going from one dimension to another, one group of octaves to another group of octaves, you also have sort of compression horizontally, which is from a parallel universe existence. So then parallel universes start to collide and start to sort of cross over each other. And that's where you get that experience of two versions of the same thing. And to some degree, depending on where you're at consciously, you'll believe one or the other. But that's how obviously you can sort of experience that because, again, as the compression is spherical, it's not linear, right? So the compression isn't just top to bottom, which we might consider dimensionally, or parallel, which is sort of more sort of horizontally. This compression is spherical, so it's compressing everything. Parallel universes, dimensional, realities, it's sort of compressing everything.
Okay, because a friend of mine had sent me a video of some guy explaining the quote unquote Mandela effect. It wasn't what I thought was the Mandela effect, but he basically said there is only one reality, and everybody that doesn't believe in this reality were basically had their minds hijacked, and were fed incorrect information and were brainwashed. Now, I know that there's benefits to washing our brains of old conditioning. So that's not the kind of brainwash I'm talking about.
No,
He was
I hear
talking
what you're
about
saying.
mind control. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that Luke, I am your father, or whatever the saying is, that I'm mind controlled because I believe in that reality that I experienced personally, but I didn't really experience it. So is there something to that mind control thing causing incorrect memories?
I don't know whether I probably wouldn't consider it mind control per se around those types of compressions. I still believe it's compression of dimensional space and time, which means parallel universe experiences are getting closer and closer, which means we're able to experience those parallel existences because in a parallel reality, everything that we see, there is an opposite of that, or is there's a slightly changed version of it. And depending on how far we expand out into parallel universes, it depends on how weird and strange it gets, right? So we sort of go from here, and maybe the other end of it is the total opposite of here, right? And everything in
Like the bad
between.
Spock, good Spock on Star Trek,
Totally.
or
Totally.
the
All that's, yeah, exactly. All that sort of stuff. Maybe where, Luke is Darth Vader's father, not the other way around. Who knows, right? But we're more likely to experience these subtle changes where a word or a letter or some slight changes are happening because we're not obviously going to compress all of the parallel existences. We're only going to compress the ones that are closest to us. And the closer parallel universes are only slight changes of what is existing in this reality. And to some degree, this is the main reality, and all of those parallel universe experiences are echoes of this reality. They just get changed and altered and warped the further out you go from this reality. This
Now,
is
if
like the
somebody
mirror
says,
effect. When you look at a mirror and you've got mirrors on all sides, and
oh,
the mirrors
right, yeah.
over and over, that's a classic example of parallel existences. That's a good way to look at it.
Okay, that's interesting. So
And
if say
rather than
someone
being at
says
one
I
mirror, yeah,
there
you're
must be a
collapsing.
reality. So Marcus, if somebody says there must be a reality where I am not 400 pounds, and I'm exaggerating, but where I'm not 400 pounds and I'm a healthy 145 pound, right? And they're really working on themselves to resonate the higher frequency and into doing self-healing, and they can feel, their 145 pound body, like, why does it take so long to be the 145 pound body? Like, why do they still see the 400 pound body?
Well, I mean, there's two things. One is obviously call in the 145 pound body, but also because of the way we've created this existence in a linear time frame, it's not possible to go from 400 pound to 140 instantly in a
Okay.
linear time frame construction. As we expand into other dimensions, then that reality starts to change, where the linear component isn't quite as linear as we thought it was, and therefore at some point in time we can materialize things instantly. Now, you and I both experienced these, miracle healings where people have instantly healed from something, right? And that's because, when you work dimensionally, as I know you do and I do, and all of our sort of students and graduates do, you start to bring in and enter into and cross over into other dimensional realities where these things are absolutely possible. We have a collective conscious experience here, which has embedded us in this linear time frame experience, which means things take time. We've got to allow time to progress before we go from X, to Y, and we can't just jump. But if we think about the spherical nature of dimensional reality, everything is in sort of this circular or spherical way. So at if you think about this example, 400 to 140, both of those things exist exactly the same space and time, except for a small slither of sort of parallel reality or dimensional reality. And so theoretically, you can jump from one to the other. But because of our linear sort of experience and the way we've been sort of all collectively brought into this frequency band of dimensions, you've got to go right round the circle to get to that. But you can jump, right? And we see this with children all the time. If you've had young children, you notice that a child can be crying one minute and incredibly joyful the next. They don't have to go on this linear pathway from sadness to happiness. They jump from sadness to happiness instantly, right? So why can't we do that with everything in our reality? Because if you can jump from one emotion to another instantly, why can't we jump from sickness to health instantly? Why can't we jump from, and that's possible in expanded dimensional realities.
Well, it's a source of frustration for many people on the path,
Yeah, it
right?
is.
Because they know in their heart of hearts that it is possible, right?
Totally.
They know it's absolutely possible. And yet their
Absolutely.
physical 3D experience is that there's time. Now
That's
they can
right.
have other miracle, really fast healings and synchronicities and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the physical form, sometimes it's a source of frustration. I know the healing is there, healing the frustration part, but yeah.
Exactly. But it does exist. That jump, instant jump, exists in the dimensional realms. So part of it is just, you've got to start working with that and let go of that frustration of the journey that you're on.
Or the
And there could be all
attachment
sorts
that
of
it,
reasons. Sorry?
or letting go of the attachment of it having to
Correct.
be the way you quote unquote know it can be.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Let
Oh
go of that
man.
attachment. And, I don't know about you, but I think more and more people are experiencing time going faster and faster. But that's because you're starting to move out of linear time space. And when I'm talking to people and clients and students, I talk about activating that spherical mind, that spherical brain. And that spherical brain is more likely to follow the energy of any given thing rather than the linear progression of that thing. Right? Because when you follow the energy, you can dart from one space to the next space instantly. And this is a process, philosophy, reality for off-world beings that are coming and visiting the planet. There's so much in the scientific community that goes, well, hang on, how do they travel hundreds of light years instantly, right? How do they get here in what seem may be moments? And that's because they understand this spherical concept of universal construct or dimensional construct, where rather than having to go all the way around from their planet to our planet, they can sort of go bend space and time, go from, that space to this space instantly, because they understand the spherical nature of dimensional reality. rather than the linear nature. So our science is thinking in linear, which is, oh my God, if we travel at light speed, it's going to take us, 4.5, years to get to Andromeda or whatever, or 1,000, light years to get here or there. But they're thinking linearly, not dimensionally, and that's the problem. So they're
Right,
never
actually
going to
drives
join those
me
dots.
a little batty when I see the superhero and other movies where they have this big ship and it's taking X amount of time and they got to go to warp speed. That part's cool, but I'm like, dude, seriously, if we're that far advanced, why do we have this big contraption of a thing, that needs all these I don't know, rare minerals or something to propulse us, if that's a word, propel us. There we go.
Propel us.
To this other
Exactly.
reality. So, because there's many
Got it.
beings that are telepathically, well, of course you experience it, but that can literally be here, maybe not,
Totally.
as fleshy as we are in that in this lower dimension, but it doesn't seem like it should be this hard for
Well, it's
us.
not. That's the problem. It's not this hard. And because we've collectively bought into the sort of linear aspect, that's part of the issue. The linear aspect of reality is very dense and slow, and we're moving through really thick soup at the moment rather than moving through air, right? So we can imagine the difference between us and maybe highly evolved beings is we're moving through the depth of the ocean, they're moving through the air. And we know that you can move a lot faster in the air than you can in an ocean. Right, just with the density, and that's part of the key is to understand spherical nature, but understand density as well. That when when you move time and space, and you move in different octaves of dimension, then you can create different densities so that you're not pushing against the ocean, for example, or a denser material. You're actually being propelled by the material, not having to push through the material. Hence why they can get here quickly. And they often will use, so they can use their dimensional bodies to be here and exist here. But if they want to come and experience here, this is where they use these craft to allow themselves to materialize in this dense plane. And because they're of such high sort of octave frequency, they need a form to be able to journey into the lower density realms safely.
Okay, so for
But
us
those,
to interact, like on a physical level, there's a some sort of not borrow of a form, but some sort of form needs to be created. Is that what you're saying?
It's a protective form to allow them to appear. And this is why we see UFOs and spacecraft. Because they're containers of sort of these lower dimensional realm experiences, and it allows them to be here. Now, when we've looked at these craft, we know that the craft and the being are one. There's no real separation between craft and being. And when you're on these, craft, there are no gadgets and dials and buttons, and it looks like everything's sort of blended into one thing. And the being that is controlling the ship is at one with the ship, and the ship is at one with the being. There is no separation between the two. So the form, it almost appears indistinguishable between the two.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, there are reports from, I think what the actually reports as last century, beginning of last century of, so-called alien, beings, that is, the Truther movement has them, shown. So there, we thought it was like Area 51, like that time, but it was even way before that. That ships were perhaps reverse engineered. I really don't understand how they could operate them without the consciousness, though. Or maybe those are not those types of ships.
Well, that's right. So what they try and do is reverse engineer it in this dimensional realm, and so they then create it out of, our the science and knowledge and technology we're aware of using some of their technology. But you're absolutely right, they can't operate them in exactly the same way because of consciousness itself and being able to blend and merge with the machine itself. And that's one of the issues. So they take components of the technology and integrate it into our reality and our technology as best they can, but they haven't been able to recreate the actual thing itself, for probably a couple of reasons. One is different minerals and different components that exist on that planet compared to this planet, or on that dimension compared to this. But as you said, and one of the probably the most important is the integration of consciousness. And the realization again that consciousness is spherical, but also that everything that exists has consciousness in it. You know, right now, our belief has been that humans have consciousness and nothing else really does, right? Other things have awareness, but not the sort of consciousness we have, you know, where we're sentient beings and we can create things and we can talk and communicate. And now that reality is changing, right? Quite rapidly. That hang on a minute, maybe all animals are conscious and have a much more dimensional or detailed existence, not dissimilar to humans. But eventually, they'll expand that into rocks and soil and trees, and anything that exists has a form of consciousness.
Yeah, I think the indigenous, some of the older ancient tribes, they now call that animism or anism, animism. Anyway, where everything has consciousness. So
Totally.
it's like that's coming back around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, in
Absolutely.
another version
And
of that.
that's the reality. That's the truth of it, right? Because everything in the universe is consciousness, and yeah, that's part of universal constructs. So then everything has to have a form of consciousness in it. So as we step into the next octave, coming back to where we started, you know, the next octave, we'll have more of an understanding about that because our consciousness expands with the octave, and then we meet that reality, which then shows us that, oh wow, all animals have consciousness. Oh wow, trees and, you know, living things all have consciousness. Oh wow, even inanimate objects seem to have consciousness.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think it's funny when I talk to my car, but anyway, yeah, her
Well,
name's Sophia. Yeah, it's funny because in the past I used to treat my cars like a hunk of junk. Like, you know, I get mad at it, you know, just like, ugh, you stupid piece of whatever, right? And then it would always like break down, have all these problems. It was in the shop
Totally.
all the time. And then when
Love
I
that.
heard about this sort of idea, I started respecting the car and felt a little silly at the beginning, talking to the car and appreciating the car. And but I gotta tell you, like I hardly ever have problems with my
No, that's exactly right. You
car.
won't. You won't. And that's because of that idea of sort of consciousness, right? So you imagine if we built a craft out of metal and we understood that metal has consciousness and we have consciousness, then we have the ability to engage with it, to interact with it, and to work with it. Right? This is where then metal can take on different forms and morph and move around, because once we get that it has a consciousness, then we can interact with that consciousness, we can communicate with that consciousness, so to speak, and therefore we can work together with that.
Right. Well, I think our next show might be talking about this and pyramid
Well,
building, but we're not
there we
gonna,
go. We could
yes, we're
definitely do
not gonna give away anything. But
that.
before we end, Marcus, just one last question around, you know, if somebody is experiencing this expansion, at times it feels like it's really fast. At times it feels like the body feels destabilized. They feel great 1 minute, and then the next minute they're just like either fatigued or they have a pain. Maybe it's all over their body pain, like, and then once they're stabilized, they feel better again. Like, is there any
Correct.
solution to that?
Well, the solution really is that we need to remain stable as much as possible, that we're going through a dimensional shift, sort of whether we like it or not. So that is inherently destabilizing. So the challenge right now is to remain stable and to not get caught in linear time space where we become unstable and we think, you know, the whole world's collapsing and oh my God, oh my God, and just stay stable even through the destabilization to restabilize yourself again, not worry, concern that today is not as great as it was yesterday, or things have changed in a moment, because that's the nature of what we're going through. And so the challenge for us, and I think this is part of the training for us, is to remain stable even through destabilizing atmospheres, and learn how to do that. Once we learn that process and we become really in control of stability, if you want to call it control, but in a mastery of stability, then we start to learn mastery of consciousness, and we start to learn mastery of creation and mastery of materialization and manifestation, and all sorts of super cool things open up to us. So in some respects, we're going through a training program right now, a boot camp, if you will, a dimensional boot camp, and we're sort of right in the bang smack in the middle of it, and we just have to watch our emotional state and stabilize into that, and not allow our emotional state to run off in linear time space where it might consider things are terrible and horrible and run any sort of, an old script or an old sort of conversation, and just continue that focus on, okay, just about settling, stabilizing, and being in that sort of present consciousness moment.
Ooh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I definitely noticed that, excuse me, as I let go of old habits of thinking and therefore emotionally reacting to things
Correct.
like, oh, here we go again, or why can't I
That's
get
a
rid of this
classic.
symptom or get anxious? I'm lucky in a way because of the medical background, right? Like if someone's like, if it's dangerous and they really need to go to the ER because it's acute, urgent, and be like, save their life. I'm like, okay, I'm on it, right? But most of the time, it's not that. But most people don't know that, right? So they
They
can
don't.
have something what I would consider minor, and they just freak out.
Totally, totally. And
And
this
so,
is going to make you feel that way, right? When we're moving sort of
yeah.
dimensions, it can feel bigger than it actually is. That's not to say that if you're concerned, you don't go to an ER or you don't get help. For
Right.
sure, do that. But generally, things will become a bit more amplified right now as we shift dimensions, because you're starting to see two different realities, which then can amplify one of those realities, especially the lower to the dimensional realities can tend to be more amplified, because what it's trying to help you to do is to sit in ultimate truth. So therefore, anything that's not necessarily true might be amplified greatly. And therefore, you do go to AR and find nothing's wrong.
Right.
Possibly.
Yeah,
Right?
and there's this, like you said, the training. I love that because
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being trained to not react, and if not just not react, but to actually appreciate that there is a lesson or there is an evolution of that. So I can either see how I used to be versus now and go, oh, that's pretty cool. I handled that pretty well, or have, I call them abundance challenges where there's some
Yeah, totally.
emotional trigger and I go, oh, there's that thing about not being good enough again, huh?
Totally,
And be
totally.
able to step like a little outside of that and see it for what it is and not take it
Yeah,
personally.
totally. Totally. And if you get caught in that feeling like things are going too fast, like there's so much happening, and just know that you're sort of being caught in that old linear time frame where your brain's desperately trying to play it one little step at a time, yet think multiple things are happening at the same time right now. So part of that journey is you've got to let go to that experience and just know that you can cope, keep up, be able to handle it, all of those sort of things. Because the brain sort of can get caught in that linear time frame and that linear progression, and therefore it's desperately trying to, process everything in a linear space rather than in a spherical space where it can process everything all at once.
Oh yes, everywhere, that movie, right? Everything everywhere all at
All at
once.
once. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's so true. And I remember you teaching us this in activator because you're like, there's a lot of information here, and if you try to
Totally.
take every little bit, you could feel this overwhelm. And you said, just sit up here and feel it, like
Just
feel the big
allow
picture.
it
That was
to
so helpful.
move. Yeah, allow it to move through you and awaken a remembering and a deeper knowing of the truth. And then everything's great.
Yeah,
So,
it's so great. Like sometimes I'll joke a little bit. People go, how did you do that? So like, how did you get that so fast? Or how did you write that so fast? And I just like, well, I went into stillness and it just came out, right? I just didn't have to think about it because I get trouble if
Totally.
I think about it.
Absolutely.
Just
Absolutely. So,
flows. That's pretty cool. So Marcus, we want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. So I'm going to put the link below. There's a great class that you have, this workshop. Can you tell us a little bit about the Supercharge workshop?
So in Supercharge Your Healing Abilities, I run through a whole lot of these concepts, but certainly help people to awaken to just a more expanded reality. We talk about ancient Egypt and how they had incredible technology, some of which we're, bringing back in an expanded sort of version. So we talk about pyramids and sort of the nano subtle energetic template of the body, which includes pyramid centers. We talk about the Egyptian 13 chakras. We talk about Egyptian meridians, called the healing pathways, and just really awaken to that sort of truth. Talk a bit about quantum physics and how quantum physics and this sort of compares together and sort of aligns together. And then we do a whole lot of really cool exercises to help you to awaken into this new sort of dimensional reality.
Oh yes, and I love them. And I don't know how I've done. I think all of them almost, even though I'm in the program, right, and graduate of the program. But every time you do them, if I'm free, I'll be there because I just love it so much. And you keep evolving it as well. And your models are really clear because I'm super visual. So it's one thing to hear about it, another thing to see it. So I encourage everyone who's interested in this, you get kind of an inkling like, ooh, this is very interesting. Yeah, definitely check out the link below for a class, the
Yeah,
Supercharge class.
absolutely. It's a really great class. It runs for a number of hours, and I even at the end of it give you an example of the process of activator. So I do talk about the activator process within it, and but we talk about dimensional reality, and we talk about the secret of the flower of life and sacred geometry, and there's a whole lot of really super cool things we talk about to help you to awaken your consciousness to that next dimension of reality.
So
So
cool.
beautiful.
Well, Marcus, we're looking forward to the next time you can come back and we're going to talk about Egypt and the pyramids.
Yay.
Yeah. So
Absolutely.
thank you so much for joining us on Dimensional Deep Dive. I
Thank
love you
you.
so much. Thank you for your gift and
Likewise.
thank you for sharing your gift with the world.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Until next time, bye for now. Lots of love. Lots of love.